And by the way, thank you for whoever did the landscaping out in the front, just kind of put the new, break the needles and put the new flowers out. I really greatly appreciate that. That's a good, nice surprise. All right. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 8, please. 1 Corinthians 8. Lord, we just thank you for your word. And we study your word chapter, chapter, verse by verse. I just pray that we're all growing and maturing in Christ. And for Lord, we just want to spend time in your word. Coming, we worship you through your word. We worship you with praise and songs and spiritual songs, but also just by spending time with you. And so, Lord, thank you for the people that are here today. I pray that you open your hearts and minds and eyes that they can live in freedom, but also have the responsibility so that a younger or weaker brother may not stumble. And Lord, praise you that we can cope in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 8 here, continues answering questions that the church had asked him. And in chapter 7, he talked about marriage, divorce, and now Paul's addressing things offered to idols. And this specific thing was meat. Where's the meat? I want some meat. Right? Did you know that we are a nation of meat eaters? America is number 2 in the world of meat eaters. We eat, the average person, if you divide it all out, the statistics say we eat about 271 pounds of meat a year. Now, whether that's beef or chicken or pork or fish or whatever it is, 271 pounds a year. I was amazed. Luxembourg, the little country of Luxembourg, is first. They do 271.2 pounds. And the third one is, anyone? Australia, down under. Let's have some mutton or put some shrimp on the barbie, mate. That kind of thing, right? So it's a nation of meat eaters. But here in the church, what was happening was people, should a Christian eat meat sacrificed to idols? And this Paul addresses is because it was causing some strife in the church, because there was people who were majoring in the minors. This is a minor issue. Should I eat this meat or not? But some people, it was really offending them. Look, that person had the triple at the In-N-Out when he should have had the single. Shame on you. You sinner, you heathen. Okay? Should a Christian eat meat sacrificed to idols? In the culture, there was Greek and Roman gods, Zeus and Jupiter and Aphrodite. And there was also Greek and Roman demons that people would worship. And they would go and pay a price to have this animal sacrifice to this priest. And it would be worshipped. They would worship him, right? I'm going to take my animal sacrifice to the goddess or god of Jupiter. And the priest, he could do two things with that meat. The first thing he would do, he would take a portion for himself, the ribs usually, or maybe the cheek meat. And the rest, he could sell. And he could take it out to the market and sell. And people would take it for consumption. Or people could go, what they would do is they would have their barbecues. So they'd have the sacrificial meat. People come and sacrifice. And they'd set up these Mongolian barbecues. Here you go. This animal is sacrificed to this god, but here I've got this great sauce on it. Come on into my little shop where I sacrifice these animals and you can have this meat, or it's an open air. People could buy meat from these places, or they could go to the market called the Shambles, and they would get it and buy it, right? And so think about that. They could go, let's go get a steak at the place of the sacrifice of Jupiter. They would go there. Why? Because it was less expensive and it was fresher. Okay? And sometimes it was cooked. It's kind of like going to Texas Roadhouse when you don't want to cook. So that kind of thing was going on. So Paul is addressing the sensitive issues because people were saying, you ate some meat from the idols, the idol worship. 1 Corinthians 8. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. love the way Paul writes. Think about that. If anyone knows something, then that's the beginning of knowing nothing. Knowledge does what? Puffs up. And we as people sometimes can know a whole bunch of stuff. We can have all the degrees behind our name, our PhD and whatever behind all our letters behind our name, and we're full of knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. It's kind of like there's no substance behind it. It's like eating one of those puffed cheese puff things, full of air, nothing in it. There's two groups of people here at the church. There were, one were eating food sacrificed to idols with sins, and the other group was saying, it's okay, because, you know, we have freedom in Christ. Freedom in the Lord. Since idols are not real, therefore there's no harm in going to the barbecue. It's a cheap meal. It's social. Besides, I may be able to talk to someone about Jesus, invite him to church there. But knowledge puffs up. Knowledge is very apt to put the mind and to fill the wind that's so puffed up. When Matthew Henry says this, I'll start again. Knowledge is very apt to put us in their mind, to fill it with the wind and puff ourselves up. This tends to do no good to ourselves, but in many instances is much to hurt others. But true love and tender regard to our brethren will put us upon consulting their interest and acting as may be for their edification. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Matthew Henry says this. If we will go through our lives and think, yes, if I only knew so much, and if I studied more, if I prayed more, then I could witness more. That's a great goal, but if you're just doing it just for knowledge's sake, to make yourself look better, to make yourself maybe look, oh, look at that person, he's such a great teacher, then it's no good, because what trumps everything is love. Knowledge for knowledge's sake builds ourselves up. Gives us self-esteem, can make us conceited. And sometimes we go and people, you know people, we all know people that they like listening to themselves talk because they feel good and it's important. I don't know if you are maybe dating myself, I kind of remember the old Foghorn Leghorn cartoon, the Looney Tunes. I say, boy, come and listen to me. I say, you boy, listen to me all the time, right? And so I'm full of knowledge, and I know it, and right? But it's like, you know, if you have no love, then it's like, why am I listening to you? It's like clanging cymbals. They say it just to feel good and important. Look at me. But love edifies. Love builds others up to become more like Jesus. And we are known by Jesus when we are his representatives on earth by what? Not showing our knowledge, showing our love. Showing how much you love. Actions, of course, are way far louder than words. Just visited my son playing baseball out in Hastings. And just interesting just to watch the coach. He's got a new coach. Coach is old school coach. You know, he does all the hand signals. But then when he's mad, boy, he's just yelling and even cussing and all that kind of stuff. It's like, And so when he talks to the team, it's like after the game, it's like, yeah, you did a great job, but I'm sure they're remembering that, what, just an hour ago, you cussed me out for missing a play. Knowledge. Full of knowledge, but if you can't portray that in love and speak the truth in love, then it just falls on deaf ears. Corinthian church, look what out what you ate, you know? And that kind of thing. Don't you know if it's sin? You ought to know better, right? There's certain people that had the knowledge. They knew that they were sacrificing meat to idols. They had the knowledge. And then what they did is they pointed out to these other people that were eating the meat that they were sinning, not in love. Like I said, you had that triple burger. You're a sin. You ought to know better. Rather than say, it's just a meat example, right? Say there's someone here who struggled with whatever it is. You fill in the blank. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it is, right? And this example is just as meat. Here's the meat. And rather than going, oh, you're a sinner. You did this. You shouldn't have this meat. You ought to know better. Maybe it's up to the person's responsibility to say, do you know what, brother? I struggle with eating meat. Rather than eating that 8-ounce portion that fills my hand, I want to get the big 50-ounce thick one and eat it. And, you know? But here he comes. He says, you know, and here you come in here with this good-looking sizzling steak and this nice rack of ribs. Man, that's tempting. Could you please eat that somewhere else? Isn't that much better? Isn't that speaking the truth in love? Speaking the truth in love, because without love, it's a clanging cymbal. Because if there's no love, no love. Love motivates. Love cares. Love demonstrates. And rather than knowledge, right? If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. And this knowledge we have, it's good to grow and learn. It's good to study. It's good to keep on praying and keeping on learning more about the Lord. But that's the main thing. We learn more about the Lord so that he changes us and makes him more like him. It's used to build each other up. Knowledge places the emphasis on the knower, not on others. And a deeper knowledge of Jesus, so that we can be more and more and more in love with our Lord Jesus and more in love with our neighbors. So we, with the knowledge, and like in Corinthians, we need to be sensitive to others' needs and others' struggles and others' problems and others' temptations. Imagine, too, another example could be this. Maybe alcohol. Maybe someone struggled with alcohol or come out of an alcohol past. And maybe that you see that the pastor's going to go out and he's sitting down and it's a hot summer day and I'm going to go sit and find myself in the latest honky-tonk and the door's open and you walk by and you see the pastor having a tall one. Nice, cold, tall one. And you're going, didn't I just talk to him about struggling with alcohol? Really? No way you would see me doing that. Because years ago, the Lord convinced me of my sin. And like, no way. Not going to even touch it. But alcohol, culturally, in this society, in America, no way, not here. But in other cultures, when I went to Colombia on a trip, I didn't partake, but the pastors, part of the ritual or part of it was having wine with their meal. Okay? In Germany, pastors, sometimes you find them hanging out in beer gardens discussing the latest thing. Right? It's the whole concept of the freedom you have in Christ versus the responsibility you have as a believer and to other believers, to the Lord and to other believers. Do the things that you do make you a better representative for Jesus. What sort of example are you setting as a child of God in your family, as your circle of friends? Are you staying strong in Jesus and or you're not so proud that you have the freedom, I can do what I want, but you're aware that you might cause someone to stumble? This is the whole issue. 8 and 4. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom all things, and we for him and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. Idols. Anything that takes you away from your love of Jesus. Back then and now. Could be symbols of little trinkets. Could be a symbol worn on your shirt. You know? Broncos. Whatever. Whatever it is. The idol represents false gods, false hopes, and it takes away from God the worship he requires. There is one God. There is one Lord, and that's Jesus Christ, in which who all things were created. He's the source of existence. He created us in his image to glorify him, to serve him, to love him, and he gives life, and he gives life abundantly. And through Jesus, his beloved son, we are redeemed by his sacrifice and his love and his mercy and his grace. And he redeemed the world by believing in him. We can have the freedom of being forgiven from our sins and the freedom to live our life abundantly, to accept the blessings that he wants to bestow upon us over and over and over again. It's a great and amazing God we serve. And so therefore, anything that happens to us in life, our response is love and joy. Because we know that we have eternal life because we trusted in him and our home is in heaven where there's no more tears and no more pain and no more sorrow. What hope we have as believers. And so Paul is telling to the weaker brothers here that it's just idols. So go to the store and eat. Get some food, get some meat. Now, however, in 7, there's not in everyone that know knowledge for some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food not commend us to God, and neither if we eat, we the better, nor if we do not eat, are we the worse. So the ones who are struggling were the ones who usually were weaker. Have you noticed that the ones that have not matured more in Christ are the ones that want to follow God in these certain rules? They like to have the rules. Here's the box. Here's the box. Keep me in this box because I feel safe and I feel more secure. And it's usually the ones that are not quite mature or maturing that have those rules. And that's okay. This is the stronger brothers who can go and say, it's all right. I can eat that meat. I can handle it. I've dealt with it. I can have that. And it's usually the stronger ones that understand their freedom they have in Christ because they're led more by the Holy Spirit. And they go, should I eat this meat in front of this person or should I not? Or should I, I've had another steak. I've had steak all this week. Should I do something else? Because, you know, I'm getting high cholesterol and blood pressure and all that kind of stuff. Well, you have to know. The weaker brothers, it's a set of rules to follow. And the more spiritually more mature, the more free we are in Christ. And why don't we grow? Why don't people mature in Christ? I can suggest 3 reasons. Maybe here they were new Christians and they haven't yet been discipled. And isn't it a shame that sometimes you know people that have been going to church and been a Christian for years and years and years and they're still drinking spiritual milk when they should be eating spiritual meat because they have not taken the time to study the Word. They've not taken time to hang out in church. They've not taken time just to read the Word. They've taken time to understand that we are just pilgrims here on earth and here our home is in heaven, and we must learn the way of the Christian is different from the way of the world. And we have a biblical worldview. And so that's another reason we offer the Truth Project on Thursday nights. Come to the Truth Project. And another reason is in our pride and in our human nature, we refuse to grow up. We can be like spoiled babies. I want to have it my way, and that's it. Forget it. You can't tell me what to do, Lord. And even the people we love, you can't tell me what to do. I want it this way. We can become spiritual babes. And like I said, as your times you should be eating meat when you should be teaching others, you are still in need of milk. That's from the author of Hebrews. And we're still learning the simple things. And some people just, no matter what you encourage them, you pray for them, they just refuse to grow. They don't study their Bible. They don't come to church. They don't read the Word. They don't take time to pray. They don't have time to meet with Jesus. And so they stay in a state of perpetual immaturity. And then some people, I believe, don't grow up because they live in fear. They're trapped in their ways. I'm too old to change. I can't do this anymore. I fear. I'm afraid to try something new. It's too hard to learn. I can't give this up. It's just the way that I live and the way that I'm going and the way it would be too hard. I can't do that. They live in fear. They desperately want to change. They desperately know they need to change. But guess what? They're too afraid to grow and to be set free in Christ because they're so stuck in their ways. The Bible tells us to fear God and keep His commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear not, for I am with you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And so when we finally get to that point in our life where we give up our old habits, our old temptations, our old ways, and we truly, truly, truly trust in the Lord, and we want to grow in the Lord, when we want to spend time with Him, we start growing and maturing, and then we go, Lord, You are so great. I love You. Why wasn't I following You completely and wholeheartedly those many, many years ago and trapped in my fear or trapped in my temptation and refused to grow up? But the Lord is so merciful. He keeps on tugging at us and pulling at us and saying, I love You. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Grow. Mature. But if food does not commend us, and neither we eat, or we are better, nor if we not eat, we are worse. Basically, eat what you want. It's not about the food, okay? But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours, in 9, become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you having the knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat the things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish from whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound the weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, you might want to underline this part, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. It's a matter of conscience. So the next time you're there and you're, and thinking in your life, we are free. You freely came here today. You freely got up. You can do what you want. But the next time you think, I can do what I want, I can go where I want, I can eat what I want, you must realize that flaunting your freedom as a Christian, you may cause a weaker brother or sister to stumble. If eating meat offends my weaker brother, I will not eat meat. Okay? Thinking about it. And it could be all sorts of things in your life. You may have the freedom to play your video games, and you can handle whatever you're playing on the video games, but other people might stumble with it because they have watched it over, or done it over and over and over again. They spend hours and hours and hours. That's all they do, watching video games. Or you may have the freedom to watch your TV programs that you think are okay. But other people might go, you know what? That offends me. I'm not going to watch that. Okay? So we have to, the thing is, he's getting to a point where we have to know each other. And there's principles behind just the meat. And it's love for everyone. Love Christ and love others. It goes back to the commandments. And the principles to follow, Paul closes in 1 Corinthians 10. He's up this argument. So 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, flip with me there. He closes and he says, we do everything for the glory of God. Whatever we're doing, we glorify God. Not I can do what I want, or it's like we have to stop and think, is this beneficial? The principles to follow. The first one is what am I doing beneficial to me and to others and to the Lord? All things are lawful for me, in 10:23, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify or build up. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The Lord made it, the Lord designed it. So basically, don't go ask where you got this meat. Can you imagine going to a nice dinner at someone's house and you go, hey, where do you buy this meat? Was it King Supers? Right? Where did you buy this? Okay, just buy it. Don't ask about it. Okay? That's what he's saying. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner or you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of one who told you and for the conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. He made everything, he provided everything. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of another. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken for the food over which I give thanks? Both sides of the argument. And 31, therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jew or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also pleased all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. And we love the Lord Jesus because it's always about others, others, others. Is this what I'm doing beneficial? Is it beneficial? Now, my son-in-law just got invited to go to Elway's Steakhouse. And he puts, you know, I don't know about you guys, but some people put their, it's weird, they put their pictures of what they, their dinner on their Facebook page. You know, some people do that, right? Okay, so, ooh, it was a $50 steak, it was huge, and it was yummy, it was fantastic. But, you know, he just did that. And he was thinking, and I was thinking about this as preparing this message, it's like, is this something that would be beneficial? You know, it's a huge steak, and it's $50. But, you know, you get away with a smaller steak for about 10, right? Think about that. So it's all about the we have the freedom, but it's all about the responsibility too we have. So we have what I like, but is it benefiting you and is it benefiting others? That's the one of the principles. Is this what I'm doing beneficial? The second principle is what I am doing edifying. Edifying means building up. Is it building up you? Is it building up others? Is it building up the name of Jesus? Or is it causing others to stumble? As I said before, it could be whatever it is. Movies you watch, the video games you play, many hours of fun, but video games, I'm just going to admit, not really my thing. Like, you know, so much other things to do. And number three is, what am I doing honoring and glorifying God? We do all things to glorify Him. And when we live our lives in that principles, basic principles, I believe that we can be mightily used by God, we can tell others about Jesus, and will not, hopefully not, cause others to people to stumble. Because the way we can understand our freedom and relate to others, it demonstrates our love for others and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So have freedom, but also remember, we have responsibility. Father, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, or whatever we do all for the glory of you. And so, Lord, help us to remember that, especially when we're out, not in this church setting, but out in the world. However we act, whatever we say, maybe at our jobs, maybe in our families, how we act, we are your representative here, and we want to do all for the glory of God. And Lord, help us to flee from idols. If there's anything in our lives that puts put above you, Lord, even our relationships, even our spouses, even our children, it's you first. And so, Lord, help us just to follow you completely and wholeheartedly. And Lord, may we be guided by your Holy Spirit so we know that if there's things we need to change, give us the courage to change. If there's things we need to do, give us the boldness to do. And moreover, we just want to make sure that you are glorified and honored. And we have the freedom to live our lives. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for us so that we can indeed be set free, free from the bondage of sin, free to tell others about you, free to just worship you wholeheartedly. Lord, we love you, and we will just want to glorify you in all that we do, and all that we say, and all that we are. In Jesus' name, amen.